Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a really fascinating and intensely personal detour from our usual kind of content. We are diving deep into the mechanics of what you might call a full consciousness upgrade. The spiritual community often calls it awakening.
Right, a term that gets thrown around a lot.
It does. And our source material for this is not some corporate memo or, you know, a dusty textbook. It's a practical operational manual. We have excerpts from a book called The Awakening Manual I didn't get, so I wrote it myself.
I love that title.
It's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's positioned as a survival guide, specifically crafted for what the author calls misfits and mavericks.
Yes.
People who are starting to remember their identity in a world that, and I'm quoting here, still pretends it's normal.
That framing is just, it's essential, I think, to really get what we're talking about today. Our mission for this deep dive is to ground this experience.
Yes.
Because it's an intensely disruptive, often really destabilizing thing to go through. And this manual, it treats awakening as a physiological event, a psychological event. It's not just some abstract philosophy.
Right. It's not just a nice idea. It's happening in the body.
It's happening in the body. It's written for those people, and you might be one of them, who always felt the world in high definition, you know, the light, the noise, the emotional currents.
While everyone else seems to be watching in low res.
Perfectly put. It's for those who feel mildly or maybe wildly overclocked.
Oh.
So today we are navigating the raw, the inconvenient, and sometimes the, well, the explosive reality of becoming fully aware and then trying to integrate that into a normal human life.
And what I really appreciate most about this source is just its utility. It's a toolkit. It's a blueprint. And it's designed for immediate application.
Mm-hmm.
Because awakening is messy. It's nonlinear. So the manual itself encourages you to use it in a nonlinear way. You don't just read it cover to cover if your biggest problem right now is sensory overwhelm.
No, you jump right to the chapter you need.
Exactly. If your body is acting like a flickering light bulb, you go straight to the nervous system chapter. If your friends are suddenly accusing you of being judgmental,
you skip right ahead to relationships and muggles.
Yes. So our mission today is really to give you that grounded understanding. A map, really, that prevents you from just floating off into abstraction when what you actually need is to stabilize and integrate. Okay, so let's unpack this whole journey. We have to start at the beginning, right? Chapter one. The call to awakening.
The call.
And the source makes a really, really important distinction here. It warns that this call, it almost never arrives politely.
No, it's not a formal invitation you get in the mail.
Not at all. It's not something you sign up for. It just, it crashes into your life.
Right.
Initially, it might be subtle, a persistent, you know, uncomfortable pressure, a restlessness deep in your chest that just becomes this undeniable whisper.
Hey, Betty, this isn't it.
That's it. There's more. Wake up.
And that internal pressure, it starts to manifest as these tangible, very non-glamorous symptoms that can often look like a lot of other things. I think the earliest, and maybe the most painful sign, is a profound sense of misalignment.
Misalignment.
Yeah.
What does that feel like in practice?
It's the sudden, jarring realization that you are profoundly uncomfortable in your own life. The life you probably built very carefully.
Right, the life you thought you wanted.
The one you were told to want. You might have the perfect job on paper, the ideal partner, the stable routine you've had for years. But it all feels wrong. It's this deeply unsettling feeling that you're wearing a life that was constructed for a person you want. You just aren't anymore.
So it's more than just being stressed out or, you know, having a midlife crisis. It's something else, isn't it?
Oh, it's fundamental. It's a recognition that the very scaffolding of your life, that external structure, it no longer supports your internal vibration, your internal frequency.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. Scaffolding.
And it feels suffocating, right? Because you are literally outgrowing the identity you spent decades building. You start to notice that the routines, the old goals, the friendships that were maybe based on shared trauma or just surface level chats.
Yeah, they just feel empty all of a sudden.
Empty. Or even toxic. You haven't changed anything on the outside yet. But the moment you recognize that misalignment, that's the moment the old system begins to collapse from the inside out.
And right on the heels of that, you get hit with what the source calls the emotional surges.
Yes, the internal spring cleaning.
That's what it feels like. Like the nervous system is just purging everything.
It is. It's the system clearing space.
Mm.
And you should expect old grief, old anger, old shame to just bubble up out of nowhere. The manual is very reassuring on this point. It basically says if you find yourself suddenly weeping during a pet food advertisement.
Which happens.
It absolutely happens. You are not losing your mind. What's happening is your system is finally strong enough Your awareness is expanded enough
yep.
to actually process this deeply stored trauma and emotion that was frozen in place.
Stuff from childhood, maybe.
Often from childhood, yeah. It's just energy in motion, emotion finally being released, the consciousness expands, and that creates the space for the human body to process its backlog.
And that leads to this really confusing state, the clarity chaos mix.
Mm, the whiplash phase.
Total whiplash. You get these moments of just breathtaking, crystalline clarity. The whole universe seems to make sense. You know exactly who you are. And then it's immediately followed by total confusion, disorientation, intense overwhelm.
It's the mind trying to process way too much data, way too quickly. Your awareness is expanding exponentially, but your old identity structure, the ego, is panicking. It's scrambling to keep up.
And that's happening alongside this other symptom, this increasing sensitivity to BS.
The bullshit filter gets a major upgrade.
It really does. Things you used to tolerate, you know, performative roles at work, empty socializing, forced positivity, they suddenly become physically intolerable.
Yes, physically. That's the key. Fakery becomes unbearable because your perception is now so sharp, you can sense an energetic mismatch instantly. It's like the awakening acts as this cosmic truth serum. The source has this beautiful phrase for it. You are malfunctioning beautifully.
I love that. Which brings us to this critical point of no return, the one-way door.
Yeah.
That quiet but world-stopping realization of I simply can't pretend anymore.
And that's a core energetic contract shift.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. You might try to shrink back into the comfortable roles. You might desperately try to save the old relationships.
But it just doesn't fit.
The new reality will not fit into the old container. You can stall, you can resist, but the process has been activated and it cannot be reversed. And the manual insists this call isn't random, it's timed.
What does it mean, timed?
It means it appears exactly when your inner system, your psyche, your emotional body, your nervous system has reached the threshold where it can handle higher consciousness without completely breaking apart. It's actually a sign of strength, even if it feels like total chaos.
So once that switch flips, the job becomes, well, building the infrastructure to handle it. Which brings us to chapter two, the necessary foundations.
Right.
The source warns against what it calls the ascension mistake, trying to expand upward without stabilizing downward.
A tree analogy. It's perfect. Yeah. If the roots aren't deep, the branches are going to snap in the first cosmic storm. You have to stabilize the human experience first.
So what are these roots? What are the foundations?
Okay, so the first pillar is awareness. It sounds simple, but it's profound. It's just noticing.
That's true.
Noticing your thoughts, your patterns, your emotional reactions. Please. And then noticing that you are the one noticing.
Ah, creating that separation.
That little bit of distance.
Yeah.
That act of observation creates space between the true self and the thought form.
It's where the I takes the wheel, right? The moment you catch yourself mid-reaction, mid-gossip, mid-fear spiral, and you can just ask, wait, why am I doing this? Who is actually driving right now?
That's consciousness taking the pilot seat from the subconscious autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
And the mandatory follow-up to that is grounding. Absolutely mandatory. Because awakening increases sensitivity,
yeah.
Perception, all of it. Without grounding, that flood of new input just turns into overwhelming chaos. It leads to dissociation.
So what is grounding in this context? Is it just meditating?
It's more than that. It's not just a technique. It means staying anchored in the physical present, knowing where your body ends, feeling what emotions are actually yours versus what you just picked up from someone else at the grocery store.
Right.
And it means returning again and again to the physical self when the mind tries to run off into cosmic abstraction or future anxiety. The core truth here is so important. Awakening happens through the body, not around it. If you are ungrounded, you're just dissociated. You're not ascended.
And then we get to the really tough one, truth. And this isn't some abstract cosmic truth. This is your personal truth.
Mm-hmm. The honest to God truth.
The confrontation with what drains you, what fuels you, and and where you're actively lying to yourself just to keep the peace externally.
This is the honesty phase. And the guide emphasizes something that can be hard to swallow. It says awakening doesn't necessarily make you instantly nicer.
Right. It makes you
honest. Brutally honest. You stop negotiating your values for comfort. You stop abandoning yourself in relationships just so someone else won't be upset. And this, of course, is often the point of maximum conflict because your truth destabilizes everyone else's comfortable lie about you.
That vulnerability, though, it leads directly to the next essential skill, discernment. The source calls it the built-in bullshit filter.
It's a major system upgrade. As your perception sharpens, you suddenly see right through manipulation. You can sense energetic mismatches in a conversation. You can feel a lie in your body, like a physical tension.
And you recognize authenticity instantly.
Instantly. And this is crucial because without a sharp bullshit filter, this whole expanded consciousness thing can easily become escapism or delusion or just being energetically steamrolled by everyone else's drama.
But I have to pause here. If your perception gets that sharp, how do you avoid just becoming cynical? Is there a line between healthy discernment and just isolating yourself because you start judging everyone as being BS?
That's such an important question, and the manual is very clear about it. Discernment is not about judgment. It's about information.
Okay, explain that difference.
Judgment says, you are bad because you are fake. Discernment says, this person's energy is a mismatch for mine, and I will now create distance to protect my own coherence. See the difference?
Yeah, one is a moral verdict, the other is an energetic boundary.
Exactly. The goal isn't to isolate. It's to stop wasting energy trying to force a connection where none actually exists. The filter allows you to identify true alignment much more quickly, leading to deeper, more authentic connections, while you just peacefully exit the inauthentic ones. It's about maintaining your sovereignty.
Perfect. Okay, and the final foundation is agency.
Reclaiming your power of choice.
Right. Moving off autopilot.
Because before this shift, so much of life runs on deeply programmed autopilot. Awakening basically hands you the keys and makes you intensely aware that you can choose differently. You can respond instead of just reacting. You can consciously walk away from what harms you.
But the manual notes that this can feel overwhelming.
Hugely overwhelming, because you suddenly become responsible, not for the trauma that was inflicted on you in the past, but for what you do next with the awareness you now possess. And that single declaration of self-responsibility, that changes the entire trajectory of your life.
And tying all of these foundations together is...
integration.
Integration is the landing gear. It's the slow, steady, unglamorous process of turning knowing into being.
Embodying it. Embodying your truth, stabilizing these new layers of your identity, and making sure that awakening stops being some peak event and becomes your baseline life. If you skip these foundations, if you rush through grounding, if you bypass your personal truth, if you neglect agency, you are signing up for chronic overwhelm, dissociation, spiritual bypassing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll burn out your entire system. You have to wake up in your human life, not away from it. Otherwise, you're just trading one form of escapism for another.
Okay, so moving into what the source calls the messy middle, we hit chapter 3, Facing the Stuff You Stuffed.
The best title.
It's so direct. And the core message here, it just fundamentally challenges that popular spiritual myth that awakening makes everything better.
Oh, it really does. It dismantles it completely.
The source compares the process not to a simple software update, but to restoring an ancient hard drive, one that's just riddled with corrupted sectors, emotional viruses, and really outdated, dangerous programming.
It's the moment of maximum cognitive dissonance. Because on one hand, you now see the beauty and the interconnectedness of existence. But at the exact same time, you are confronted with everything that's sitting between you and that beautiful truth.
All the unhealed parts, the emotional bruises, the limiting beliefs.
All of it.
Yeah.
And the manual is just, it's unequivocally clear on this. You cannot awaken past your wounds. You can't just love and light your way around unresolved pain. You have to clear the backlog because your expanded self needs the human self to be a coherent, clean vehicle to operate through.
And this clearing process, it happens across three, well, surprisingly distinct layers. Let's start with layer one, which is the most familiar one.
Right. Layer one is your personal wounds. This covers your childhood patterns, any betrayals you've experienced, specific moments of shame, all the triggers that shade your current personality and your coping mechanisms.
This is the stuff a good therapist helps you sort through.
Exactly. It feels intensely yours. It's specific to your personal timeline.
But then it gets much, much deeper with layer two, ancestral patterns. And this is fascinating because this is where we realize we are carrying way more than just our own baggage.
We are. We're carrying generational trauma, inherited survival strategies, emotional legacies we never consciously signed up for.
So how do you recognize an ancestral pattern? How do you know it's not just yours?
It's that sudden, deep, strange emotion that feels completely disproportionate to whatever just happened or feels older than you are. For example, maybe you have an irrational need for absolute financial secrecy, even though you're perfectly secure financially. That might be tied to a grandparent's experience during the Great Depression.
Okay. Or a pattern of behavior that you see in your parents and their parents.
Yes, like a constant pattern of emotional unavailability that spans three generations of your family. It's a survival strategy that made perfect sense 80 years ago, but now it's actively sabotaging your happiness. The awakening process forces you to look at those legacies.
And the soul. It often chooses to enter a lineage to be the one to heal that.
That's what the source suggests, to be the one who breaks those cycles. And that leads to this incredibly powerful, clarifying realization. This ends with me. I am the pattern breaker.
Wow. And then the final layer, layer three, soul level patterns. This is where we move fully into the intuitive landscape.
Yeah, this is deep work. This involves wounds from what could be past incarnations, unresolved karmic loops, unfinished soul stories that your soul is now finally ready to complete.
But we don't have linear memory of those things, so how do they show up?
You remember them in sensation or through powerful emotional resonance, not through intellectual recollection. You might experience this intense, specific grief or fear around certain themes, abandonment, persecution, isolation, that have absolutely no apparent cause in your current life. This is the highest level of integration work, and it requires deep trust in your own inner knowing.
So all of this clearing, no matter which layer it's on, it's what's driving this intense period of emotional detox. We mentioned crying at advertisements, but it's so much more than that, isn't it? It's intense dreams, emotional flashbacks, these waves of grief that just appear and disappear out of nowhere.
And the key is to understand that this is biological. It's not just in your head. Emotion is energy in motion, and it needs a release pathway.
Right.
When the expansion happens, the body literally can no longer repress that stored emotional energy, and so it surfaces.
So the advice is just to let it happen.
Just allow it. Stop judging the intensity. Let the tears flow. Let the anger be expressed safely. You know, punch a pillow, scream in the car, because holding it in just restores the very energy you just worked so hard to release. You have to make space for the expanded self by releasing all that heavy baggage.
In this clearing work, it inevitably brings us face to face with the shadow, which is covered in chapter 11, the shadow work phase, meeting the parts of you that woke up reluctantly.
The shadow is one of the most misunderstood concepts in all of this. It is not some spooky, evil archetype. It is, as the source calls it, the exiled genius within you.
Exiled genius. I like that.
It's the repressed power, the healthy anger, the fierce sensitivity, or the innate worth that you had to hide away because at some point in your life, expressing those traits just wasn't safe. Integrating your shadow is how you become whole. It's how you become genuinely powerful. If you only operate with your light self, you're only working with half of you.
And the manual is very, very harsh on spiritual bypass here, using spirituality to avoid this messy work.
It calls it out for what it is, avoidance in a cute, shimmering outfit.
Yes.
Using phrases like high vibes only, or everything happens for a reason, or it's all love and light as a justification to avoid feeling actual painful, inconvenient human emotions.
Like righteous anger.
Or boundary-setting frustration, or deep grief. Spiritual bypassing actively blocks integration because you're refusing to be fully human.
Uh-huh.
You have to embrace the wholeness, and that includes the darkness and the uncomfortable feelings.
So, mechanically, how do you work with the shadow properly, according to the source? What's the process?
Okay, it outlines a crucial four-step process. First, witnessing without judgment. When a trigger hits, the anger, the envy, the insecurity, you just observe it. You interrupt the story you usually tell yourself and you simply say, ah, oh, here you are, old friend.
You greet it.
Second, naming the emotion accurately. Don't just say, I'm stressed. Say, I am profoundly hurt, or I am furious, or I am terrified of being abandoned. Precision really matters because it directs the healing to the right place.
And the third step, this seems to get to the absolute heart of it, asking what the emotion is protecting.
This is the key, because all shadow behavior, all triggered reactions, they are attempts to protect a deeper, older wound. So you ask that part of you, what are you trying to keep me safe from? What is the original vulnerability you are guarding?
The shadow is just a loyal protector. It just uses really outdated methods.
Understanding its intention de-escalates the fear completely. And then finally, step four is reintegration. You bring that disowned part back into wholeness by verbally saying to it, I see you. I hear you. You belong with me. This act of acceptance builds profound self-trust and transforms the shadow from a saboteur into a powerful resource.
And all of this deep psychological work is happening while the body is scrambling to catch up, which transitions us perfectly to the massive physiological impact covered in interlude hey, nervous system overclocking.
Mm.
The title really just sums up the physical feeling of this whole process. You're not crazy, you're overclocked.
And this is the definitive proof that awakening is a full-system biological event. You might experience buzzing, electric tingles, persistent ear ringing, random flashes of heat or cold, sudden crushing fatigue, or just a sense of internal static.
Why? What is actually happening?
Your body is literally running a brand new operating system on old hardware that was built for survival.
So let's elaborate on those physiological changes, because this is where the deep dive is really necessary for anyone listening. What exactly is rerouting in the body?
We're talking about literal neurological changes. The brain is developing new neural pathways to handle this massive influx of nonlinear information. Trauma that was stored in your physical fascia and your nervous system is being released, which accounts for those random bursts of tears or fear.
And crucially, the system is shifting its dominant brainwave states.
Yes. Before awakening, most people are stuck in what's called survival dominant beta. That's the high-frequency, vigilant state of planning, worrying, constant low-level anxiety.
That sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting. The awakening starts to shift you into alpha, which is that relaxed awareness, meditative state. And during moments of high coherence, even into gamma states.
And gamma is?
Gamma states are these high-frequency, highly coherent waves that are linked to peak performance, massive aha moments, intense focus. The shift feels so disruptive because your system is no longer content to just stay in that low-level beta vigilance. It is actively seeking these higher, more resourceful frequencies.
And we can't forget the vagus nerve in all of this, can we?
Absolutely not. The vagus nerve is the superhighway between your brain and your major organs. It's what dictates your rest and digest versus your fight or flight response. Awakening requires recalibrating the vagus nerve to a higher tone, which allows the body to relax into these expanded states without perceiving them as a threat.
So if the vagus nerve is low tone and constantly signaling danger?
The entire system resists the shift. It fights it.
When the system is overclocked, the source notes that the sensory gain gets turned up to 11. Sensitivity to noise, light, empathy becomes intense. And critically, it says the stress threshold temporarily lowers.
And this is a major point of clarification the manual provides. This lowered threshold is not a sign of weakness.
Right. It's recalibration.
It's necessary recalibration. Mm-hmm. Your system is using every single spare bit of energy to process trauma and rewrite your internal code. If you try to maintain the same high-stress job, the same social commitments, the same unhealthy habits you had before the call, you will burn out immediately. You have to create external peace to support the internal overhaul.
So the crux of it all is safety. The body must feel safe before it can fully integrate higher awareness.
Without a single exception. If any spiritual path you're on excludes nervous system care, practical grounding, or trauma processing, the result is just dissociation. It's not true spiritual growth. And that's why the manual provides such practical grounded tools for stabilization in the appendices.
Okay, let's truly ground those tools for anyone listening right now. First up, the 60-second reset.
This is a practical interrupt for the fight or flight loop. When panic or overwhelm hits, you immediately place your feet flat on the ground, make that physical contact, and you use specific physiological breathing. You inhale for a count of four, you hold for a count of four, and then you exhale slowly through your mouth for a count of six or eight.
And the longer exhale is the key.
That's the key. It signals to your vagus nerve that the danger has passed, forcing a parasympathetic arrest and digest response. You can use this in a meeting room, in your car, right before you open that email that usually sends you spiraling.
And what should you feel immediately after this minute is up? What's the success metric here?
You might feel a sudden drop in your shoulders, or the physical tension that was gripping your chest or your stomach might loosen just slightly. The mental chatter doesn't just stop at the intensity of the panic drops. You move from 90% panic down to maybe 60% anxiety, and that 30% reduction is enough space to choose agency instead of just pure reaction.
And then there's the use of simple sensory anchors to prevent dissociation.
Absolutely vital. When the mind tries to run off into cosmic abstraction or future anxiety, you have to tether it to the present moment. So you engage 3 to 5 immediate physical sensations and you name them aloud.
Like what?
It could be running cold water over your hands, feeling the rough texture of a stone or a wooden table, noticing the specific smell of coffee or the weight of your feet pressing into the floor. By naming them, I feel the cold water, I smell the coffee, I see the green plant, you are pulling your mind back into the present physical reality where you are safe.
And finally, the necessity of literally shaking it out.
We need to learn from the animal kingdom here. Mm-hmm. Animals, after they experience acute stress, they naturally shake to discharge all that stored tension and reset their system. Humans, we tend to freeze and just stew in it.
So what does the manual suggest?
A quick reset. Loosen your jaw. Shake your hands and your arms vigorously. Bounce slightly on your feet for just 30 seconds. This is a deliberate somatic release of electrical and muscular tension, and it completes that survival cycle and allows your body to settle. This practical, embodied approach is really why this manual is so useful for the awakened misfit.
So with that foundation laid and the nervous system at least partially stabilized, we can move into chapter 4, Expanding Consciousness. And the subtitle here is just great. You are not just a meat suit with Wi-Fi.
Yes.
This is the stage where perception really stretches. Reality starts offering up this incredible synchronicity glitches, and your priorities just rapidly shift toward authenticity and depth.
The expansion is really just becoming aware of more reality than you were previously. You move from existing in this tight human tunnel vision focused solely on deadlines, bills, physical matter, to a panoramic mode. It's awareness, uncompressed.
And this expansion, it fundamentally relies on three pillars, the first one being presence.
Presence is the only access point to that expanded reality. It's moving the mind from constant internal noise, the chatter of planning or reviewing, to external signal, the beauty, the connection, the now. When you're fully present, the world stops being transactional and it starts becoming relational.
The second pillar, and maybe the most exciting one, is the amplification of intuition.
Oh, your built-in guidance system gets so much louder, clearer, faster. Intuition is just knowing, deeper and faster, without needing linear evidence. It becomes your primary navigational compass for what is essentially a nonlinear reality. You stop needing to research every single decision to death. You start just knowing immediately what is right for you.
And the third pillar is connection.
This is the big one. This is the realization that everything is unified. Mm. You stop feeling like this isolated, fragile little entity fighting against the world, and you start sensing the chemistry, the synchronicity, the coherence of existence. You realize you are part of the whole, and the whole is part of you. And that shifts your foundational perspective from scarcity and separation to abundance and unity.
The manual then provides a model for this multidimensional landscape that we start interacting with. We're all familiar with the physical plane or 3D,
right?
You know, matter, traffic, gravity.
Right, the solid stuff.
But our awareness expands to these other frequencies.
It does. We gain this acute awareness of the emotional mental plane, 4D. This is the realm of our inner narratives, our subjective experience of time, our dreams, our archetypes. This is where your mind constructs its map of reality. And the awakened person understands that their inner 4D map is actively generating their outer 3D experience.
And then there's the leap into the intuitive energetic plane, 5D plus.
This is the realm of nonlinear information, instantaneous downloads of knowing, vibrational coherence, unity consciousness. You don't experience the future here as a prediction. You experience it as an energetic certainty.
Hmm.
An awakened human isn't fundamentally different. They are simply aware of all these multiple simultaneous layers of existence. They're no longer locked into just the physical 3D tunnel.
And the dissolution of that egoic fog and fear then activates what the source calls the awakening skill set from chapter 10. These are latent abilities the nervous system always had, but the old identity blocked them.
Right.
One of the clearest is pattern recognition and symbolic seeing.
Yes, the universe starts communicating with you in what feels like a coded message. You start seeing synchronicities everywhere. And it's not magic. It's that your attention is now being filtered by your new coherence.
So seeing the same number sequence over and over.
Exactly. You might see a recurring number sequence right before a specific person contacts you. Or you notice that every piece of media you consume suddenly revolves around the exact same theme you were just pondering. The external world begins to mirror your internal state. These are what the source calls cosmic memes.
And this feeds directly into emotional clairvoyance.
It does. You instantly feel people's hidden emotions, their unstated intentions, their energetic density. Your emotional body becomes a highly informative radar. You can sense if someone is being performative or if they're genuinely authentic.
Which links to somatic intelligence, the body becoming a truth instrument.
Yes.
What are the tangible signs of somatic intelligence that someone listening can start looking for in themselves?
The immediate physical warnings. A sudden tightness in your gut when you're asked to compromise your boundaries. A clenching in your jaw or your neck when you hear a lie. Or, on the flip side, an open, relaxed feeling in your chest when you're in an authentic conversation. Your body says no or yes far faster than your analytical mind can process all the data.
So learning to trust that somatic feeling is fundamental to staying safe and aligned.
It's everything. And this leads directly to boundary mastery.
Yes, because before awakening, so many people say yes just to avoid conflict. You sacrifice your own peace to keep others comfortable.
And now your energy stands guard instinctively. Healthy boundaries are no longer this chore you have to think about. They're an innate, effortless protection of your peace. Your energy says no before your mouth can even form the word.
And this is a direct consequence of increased truth perception.
It makes you immune to Matt's hypnosis. You can see through societal systems and illusions like they're made of tissue paper.
But the clarity of all these new skills, it generates massive social challenges. Which brings us to interlude two, relationships, family, and muggles.
The real spiritual endurance test, as the manual correctly identifies it.
So when you fundamentally change your frequency, the relationships that were built on your old frequency, they often fail. Why do people react so poorly?
The source is very clear on this. Your awakened self threatens their comfortable noise and exposes their masks. Your expansion illuminates their contraction.
That's bad.
If you stop gossiping, if you stop complaining, you deprive them of a core emotional ritual that you used to share. Your light shines a spotlight on the areas they're actively avoiding in themselves, and they often react with fear or anger or projection.
And this is where the idea of the unspoken contract comes into play. Most relationships are built on these hidden, often self-limiting agreements.
Absolutely. Think of the contract of shared victimhood. We bond over how difficult our boss is, or how unfair life is, or the contract of perpetual helplessness. You stay small and you need me so I can feel important.
Right.
When awakening causes you to stop upholding your side of that contract, when you stop being the fixer or the scapegoat or the shared victim, the whole relationship system breaks. It's forced into one of three outcomes. Upgrade, which is rare. Renegotiation, which is difficult. Or collapse, which is very common.
And the muggle reactions, the dismissal, the defensiveness, they can be incredibly painful to experience.
Because their attempts to pull you back into your old habits. Your growth makes their stagnation uncomfortable, so they might deploy dismissal. Stop overthinking, just take a pill. Or defensiveness. Why are you suddenly acting like you're better than everyone? Or just outright guilt. They rely on the old you being predictable. And if you're suddenly unpredictable, they perceive you as unsafe.
And family dynamics are often the final boss battle in this. Families really benefit from and are attached to your old identity and your old role.
When the awakened person removes themselves from those old roles, the martyr, the emotional sponge, the peacemaker, the entire family system destabilizes. But the manual assures us that the person going through this is often the pattern breaker that their ancestors prayed someone in the lineage would finally become. And this requires immense courage because you're standing against hundreds of years of inherited programming.
So what's a survival kit? How do you deal with the uninitiated?
The manual provides some very hard-won advice. First, protect your insight. Don't overshare with the unwilling. They lack the context. They will only offer you judgment.
Right.
Second, speak from your experience, not from dogma. Use this is what I'm noticing about myself instead of this is the cosmic truth. And third, and this is the most critical one, stop seeking validation from the unawake. The instruction is clear and provocative. If they don't have the map, why are you asking them for directions?
Wow.
Let silence do the heavy lifting. Your coherent presence, in the end, speaks much louder than any defense or explanation you could ever offer.
Okay, so we arrive now at Chapter 8, Identity, Death, and Rebirth. This is the necessary metamorphosis phase, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The chrysalis, the identity that you constructed from conditioning, from survival mode, from external expectations, it just can no longer contain your expanded awareness. The mask cracks, the persona disintegrates, and what's left feels profoundly raw.
It genuinely feels like you were losing your mind. Because the constructed self is, in fact, dying.
And that's a profound, messy, and necessary loss.
It is. That old identity, the one that got you through childhood, the one that learned to people pleases, that learned to achieve based on external metrics, it's now recognized as obsolete hardware. It just can't run the new consciousness software. And the sensation that results from that is one of profound vulnerability because, for the first time, you're operating without the protection of your lifelong persona.
And immediately following that disintegration is interlude third, the void.
Ah, the void.
This is maybe the most misunderstood phase of all because it feels like utter failure. It feels like a spiritual depression.
It's the energetic pause. It's the cosmic loading screen between the old self falling apart and the new self emerging. And the symptoms are things like profound numbness, deep apathy, feeling disconnected, a strange lack of motivation. You feel like you've misplaced your entire personality. You're not sad, you're not anxious, you are just neutral, unplugged.
And of course, people panic. They think they've failed at awakening or that they're just depressed.
And they try to hustle their way out of it. But the manual clarifies what's really happening. The old survival motivations, proving yourself, pleasing others, performing for validation, they have dissolved. The energy for those activities is just gone. The system is hit neutral.
The void is the chrysalis phase.
Exactly. It's where the soul is restructuring the entire foundation of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And the core rule of the void is absolute. Stop trying to force clarity.
Why is forcing clarity so destructive in this phase?
Because the entire purpose of the void is deep rest and non-doing.
Mm.
If you try to think your way out or hustle your way out or manifest your way out, you are using the old fear-based motivation that just died. The void only ends after you surrender to the stillness and you trust that the structure for your new path is being built internally behind the scenes.
So any action taken from within the void will just be incoherent.
It will be incoherent and it will likely lead to a painful collapse later on. You have to trust the incubation.
Okay, so once you move through that dissolution and the stillness of the void, you finally arrive at chapter 12, Integration and Ascension Mechanics.
The final stage.
And the manual defines ascension not as escaping the human experience, but as, and I'm quoting, the grounded, embodied, regulated, aligned version of awakening.
It is maturity.
It's maturity.
You don't ascend out of being human. You ascend into being fully human for the very first time by stabilizing these high frequencies within the body. You stop chasing the peak experience and you start inhabiting the new baseline.
And this final stable state is driven by three core mechanics, the first one being coherence.
Coherence is the synchronization of all your internal components. It's your mind, your body, your emotions, and your energy all entering into agreement.
So what did incoherence look like then?
Incoherence looks like this. Your brain knows what it wants, but your gut is screaming no and your mouth says yes just to keep the peace. Coherence means all parts are aligned. And when you achieve that coherence, fear drops, intuition rises, synchronicity accelerates, and your whole energy field becomes magnetic.
The second mechanic is frequency stabilization.
This is so crucial for avoiding the burnout phase. Your baseline frequency becomes steady enough that you don't crash into despair after a breakthrough. You don't spiral after a trigger. You don't lose your center when other people project their fear onto you. The ascension path feels so much smoother than early awakening because you stop being the source of your own destabilization. You're no longer bouncing between these ecstatic highs and crushing lows.
And the crown jewel of this whole thing, embodied awareness.
This is it. This is where consciousness isn't something you tap into through a ritual or meditation for an hour a day. It's something you live from. Every single second. You don't try to be awakened. You are awakened in how you speak, how you move, how you choose, how you respond, how you relate. Your higher self is no longer some distant lighthouse. It becomes your internal regulated pilot light.
And the manual states that this ascension shift, it changes everything about your interaction with reality.
Everything. Life stops being something that happens to you, something you have to perpetually defend against or hustle through, and it becomes something that responds to you with synchronicity and with ease. You stop needing to work on yourself constantly, and you just start living from an innate state of wholeness and sovereignty.
And the resulting identity is, well, it's unmistakable. You feel grounded, calm, sovereign, and unshakably yourself.
That new self is constructed from clarity, from emotional maturity, from inner union, and from your personal truth.
Mm-hmm.
It is immune to the old survival fears and the desperate need for external validation. And crucially, the source states this version of you cannot be manipulated, cannot be guilted, and cannot be unmade. And that is true. Practical freedom, mm-hmm. Lived in the messy, beautiful reality of the human body. #tagoutro.
Wow. This has been a necessary and really complex journey from those messy first whispers of the call through the deep physiological chaos of nervous system overclocking and that critical psychological excavation of the shadow, all the way to the stability and maturity of coherent integration. This manual, it really serves as a reminder that if you are feeling overloaded, if this resonates with you, you are not alone. You are simply part of a quiet, essential revolution of overclocked souls who chose to remember who they are.
And that final state you achieve, that self-authority and that stability, is the ultimate reward for all that messy work.
Mm-hmm.
When you are operating from this integrated, coherent, new identity, you are just unshakably yourself. Because your foundation is now truth and alignment, you stop needing external validation and you simply cannot be guilted or manipulated back into old, comfortable roles. And that is the highest form of self-care and self-sovereignty.
So drawing from the epilogue and this really powerful concept of the beacon, we want to leave you with a provocative thought. The manual states that you are now a lighthouse. Your job is not to dim or apologize for your light. Your job is simply to stay lit, regardless of the chaos happening around you. So if your job is now simply to stay lit, what action are you currently delaying because you were afraid of shining too brightly? Let your life speak louder than your words.
And remember that this transformation is continuous and it's embodied. Use the practical mechanics we've discussed today, that 60-second reset, inhale 4, hold 4, exhale 6 to 8, to drop back into your body. Use the shadow invitation dialogue, what are you trying to protect me from, to foster inner union. And use the simple sacred practice of the sensory anchor to return to the nows. These aren't just concepts, they are daily mechanics for living fully awake.
Apply these tools, trust the process, and embrace the ongoing integration. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us today. We'll see you on the next exploration.